Music from Petra and Thankful Heart. And before that, we heard from, we heard from Jim Cole, Would You, the name of his song. We heard from Dan Fogelberg, Part of the Plan. And it's now about 11 minutes after the hour on this Monday. And Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley, Texas. Don, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Dave. I'm doing just great. Thank you.
I know you expressed a little reservation about your internet connection today, so well, we'll do our best. We will sally forth here and commence the conversation, and if you disappear, that's just what happens. Not much we can do about it. So I'm glad you and David is here too. David, you are there. David cut his picture off, so I can't see him. I'm presuming he's still in the news chair there at the news desk, aren't you? There's silence there.
Just messing with you.
Yeah. See, sometimes David has been known to cut the video and then snooze a little bit.
Just messing with you. Yeah, I'm still here.
we have two topics to cover today, Don. One of them, and both at your suggestion, interesting articles. One is over at Mercola.com, which is one of our favorite websites for tracking genetically engineered products and findings and research and so forth. They're talking this morning about a corn rootworm. What is a corn rootworm?
Well, you opened up with a tough question, I see.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen one. You have to pull up a corn plant by the roots, I guess, to see it, huh?
Well, yeah. Apparently, just from the name, it sounds like it's a worm that, you know, attacks the roots of the corn, and it apparently has been a problem for, you know, folks growing corn for years and years and years, and the solution was to do crop rotation, then the BT corn, Monsanto's genetically engineered corn. One of the things it was supposed to do was kill off any the corn rootworm that would attack the corn, we are seeing a reversal of that now, and the rootworm is apparently building up resistance to the biological toxin that is genetically engineered into the corn. So that's going to be a problem, because the way this was originally dealt with before the genetically engineered or genetically modified corn came around was that the farmers would rotate to do crop rotation, and then they would, you know, basically spray pesticides on the ground in the fields to kill off the rootworm. So now apparently overcropping with where we've heard that before, overcropping with the genetically modified corn, rootworm has been able to develop resistance against that particular toxin.
And apparently they're seeing significant rootworm infestations in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Iowa, Ohio. The Corn Belt itself is I don't know that it's hurting, but it's certainly starting to pay attention. And this is, Monsanto kind of poo-pooed this whole problem, didn't they?
Well, they did, and unfortunately the EPA poo-pooed it too, because they advisors to the EPA when the BT corn was being approved were saying this is a potential problem, and so, you know, do everything that you can. Don't allow farmers to plant most of their fields, you know, with this particular type of corn, because resistance could develop. And here we are 10 years out, 10 years plus, in some of these areas. And the reason why you're seeing it first in Illinois, because that's where the first fields were planted. Sure enough, we're seeing, you know, this rootworm developing resistance to the corn, and the experts are basically saying, yeah, you see, we told you.
Yeah, so there was a scientific advisory board that said to the EPA, be careful with this stuff. This could backfire. And the EPA said, after consulting with Monsanto, that, nah, it's okay. We won't need to reduce the acreage in this. And now, I suppose the only alternative is to go back to Monsanto and have them develop another strain, huh?
Well, they are developing another strain and have developed another strain. What they're doing is taking a different gene out of the bacteria that produced the original toxin that they engineered into the corn, and they're engineering that into the corn. So instead of having one toxin in the corn, we're going to have two toxins. And thereby, there's going to be two mechanisms to kill the rootworm instead of one.
And so why would they think this would work any better than the first one?
Well, it's going to hold off the problem a little bit longer.
By a little time.
Okay. By a little time. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that this is going to do, other than make a more toxic product for people and animals to eat. Because instead of having, you know, one toxin that your body doesn't know how to deal with, now we have two.
And this would be, there would be some sense of urgency to get this new strain planted to combat the rootworm. And that would not allow a whole lot of time to test in lab. I mean, we would not know how humans would react to this stuff.
Well, we do know how humans would react to this stuff. I mean, it's a foreign... See, the problem with these genetically modified products is that the modification is not, in this case, just isolated to the roots. The BT toxin is in every cell because it's genetically engineered into the cells, and so it's in every cell of the plant, which means anything you make from the corn is going to have the toxin in it, whether it be corn oil, whether you eat the corn directly, whether you're making corn chips or corn meal.
Or corn syrup, yeah.
Or corn syrup, anything made from genetically engineered, you know, products is going to have the toxin in it. Now, the way our bodies apparently react to this is to say, hey, we've just eaten something foreign and we don't recognize it. So we're going to send out our immune system activators and start trying to attack this stuff. So one of the first things that you see is immune responses, high IgE and IgG levels of antibodies that are trying to attack the BT toxin because it's foreign, and it's our bodies were wonderfully and fearfully made by God. And so what you wind up doing is having a lot of immune responses, and which then leads to autoimmune responses. So you can have irritable bowel syndrome. People are wondering why do I have irritable bowel syndrome? I mean, you know, I'm just eating normally. And it could be because of the corn that you're eating is genetically modified.
Now, or the beef or the pork that you're eating from animals who have eaten genetically engineered corn.
Right. That's exactly right.
In everything.
So
yeah.
It's in pretty much everything. It's hard to get away from these products. And, again, as we've said on previous programs, that the solution is to label the product that we eat. I mean, label your corn chips, label, you know, your corn oil, everything that we eat, or any, you know, because you could have something that doesn't look like it's got corn in it. And it could have high fructose corn syrup, like, you know, the sodas and the soft drinks that we drink has high fructose corn syrup. Well, guess what? The high fructose corn syrup has the BT toxin in it, so we're getting it from there as well.
Now, from the standpoint of from the farmer, if there's a farmer in the Corn Belt that says I've had it, no more GMO products, is it possible to get non-GMO corn seed, and then when you're growing it, does it cross-pollinate with the GMO product so that maybe you can't maintain the purity?
Well, that has been the problem because farmers initially, you know, not every farmer went to the genetically modified corn. And let's say one field they planted genetically GMO corn and the other field they planted regular corn. Monsanto has gone after farmers in the past for not paying the price for the genetically modified corn when they didn't plant genetically modified corn in the first place. Hmm. But the corn, as it, of course, pollinates, picks, the wind is blowing and you get cross-pollination, you're going to get the pollen from the genetically modified corn pollinating your non-genetically modified corn, and guess what? Pretty soon you've got genetically modified corn.
So Monsanto is going to a farmer who originally planted the non-genetically modified corn, finding genetically engineered corn, and then suing him because he didn't pay for it.
That's right.
When it happened by cross-pollination.
The poor farmer, I mean, what his resources is, his pocketbook, but Monsanto, with their deep pockets, can take these folks to full court, which they have, and fortunately those type of cases have now gone by the wayside, and there's
nope. Don, did we lose you? I think we lost him. Let's see if he comes back here.
Right there, mid sentence.
That happened a week or two ago too. So Texas, get your internet together there. Oh, yep, we lost Don altogether. So I think what we will do is we'll begin a piece of music here and see if we can get Don back, as we have lots more to talk about on this Monday here along the Broken Road. We'll see if we can get Don back on the air with us. Music from Travis Cottrell. Wonderful, Merciful Savior. Music from Travis Cottrell. At about 27 minutes after the hour now, and we've got Dr. Don back with us. Don, sorry we lost you there, but we can kind of pick up right where we left off, talking about GMO corn and apparently a resurgent population of corn rootworms that is popping up all across the Corn Belt, first in Illinois, but also in Ohio and Iowa and Indiana and those areas, demonstrating a resistance to the GMO toxin, the BT corn, and not only the bug, but apparently weeds too. And I'm looking further down at this Mercola article, Don, and it's talking about a resurgence in sales of more standard pesticides.
Well, that's that's correct. I mean, if you happen to be in the stock market, you might look at the at the companies that are providing the pesticides for the rootworm, and you might want to look at possibly investing in those. Their stock may be going up.
Well, it says sales have climbed 5% in the first quarter to $480 million, so almost $500 million in that the more standard pesticide industry for both the rootworms and for weeds and the like. Kind of an arms race now. It's between Monsanto and the standard pesticide companies to see who can kill off these critters. And I'm not sure that non-GMO corn would be the answer here, though. If you're going to beat the rootworm, how do you do it? Rotate crops again? Go back to the pure corn and just go back to the old system?
The old system worked. You didn't quite have the yields that you get with some of these newer techniques. But if the newer techniques are failing and you have to continue to modify, your corn to add more and more toxins to them, as resistance is built up, that's not a good solution either, because we already know, for example, just the BT corn itself, just the BT toxin in the corn, and as I said earlier, is in every cell of the corn, which then gets into the food supply, causes gastrointestinal problems, it causes autoimmune disease, it causes food allergies, it causes childhood learning disorders, and these are all documented problems that have, most of the research is being done in Europe, and that's why these products are banned in Europe.
So who is it in the government that needs to be paying attention to this and maybe look at what Europe has discovered and what Europe has done? Is that the EPA?
Both. It's the EPA, because EPA is, just general environmental stuff, but the FDA, which approves these products initially, the Food and Drug Administration, are the guys that's in cahoots with Monsanto. I mean, they've got, as we talked about before, they've got Monsanto lawyers working for the EPA, and then they come out of the EPA and they get their jobs back at Monsanto, and you know, they just keep going back and forth.
Kind of an unholy marriage there. So the answer here is probably to communicate with congressmen and senators and express your concern if you're concerned about this. And it sure sounds like most of us should be. Something else, another thematic kind of threat for years we've been being told is global warming, or now it's kind of changing to global change, weather change. What's on that front? You've got some news for us there.
Okay. Well, yes. Oh man. You see, if you put your faith in quote, you know, science, and that's all that you have your faith in, then you know you're going to believe all kinds of stuff that in the end doesn't pan out. Global warming, there was a slight warming trend, and so scientists started to model, just getting folks caught up here on what the issue was. So atmospheric scientists started to model this warming trend, their model suggested, by the year 2013, which is this year, if this trend continues, which we think it will, every indication seems to say that it will, there'll be no more ice in the Arctic. Well, this year, the Arctic is 60% more frozen than it was in 2012.
60%?
60% more frozen. Millions and millions of acres of new ice, forming in the Arctic, because things aren't warming up. They're actually cooling down. And so this is, again, the scientists do their best job that they can of trying to model these things. But, the Earth is very, very complex. This has become, as you fully aware, a political hot potato, intended, in that. We're told global warming is a big problem, so we've got to control our CO2 emissions. And oh, by the way, we are going to have these international conferences, and we're going to figure out how much the U.S. has to be taxed in order to pay their fair share of this CO2 emission problem. And so they're trying to blame this on us and blame it on industry in general. When in fact, as in previous programs we talked about, the Earth is fully capable of absorbing our CO2 in particular. In the oceans, in various places, and the more CO2 you have, the better plants grow, for example. So they start taking up the CO2. And so the real issue is, we don't know how to really forecast beyond a couple of weeks what the what the temperatures are going to do and what the environment's going to do.
This strikes me as really kind of an inside out, almost a perverted way to pay tribute to man's understanding, man's brain power, man's power, period. Humanism has been doing that for a long time, saying that there's nothing higher, nothing better, nothing smarter than we, and this says now, so if something's going wrong, it's our fault.
And that's what the now they're calling it climate change. The climate change people are saying anything that we see in the climate is due to man's problem. So I am sure we will hear in a couple of years, or maybe even later this year, that we're going to a mini ice age. Guess what? That's because of global warming. And you kind of scratch your head and say, what? in fact, the Earth has gone through, multiple cycles of warming up and cooling down and warming up and cooling down. And things like, sun activity, sunspot activity, and more energy being generated from the sun, has a bigger effect on our climate than we could ever possibly have.
We're taking too much credit here, or discredit, well, or too much blame. Problem. Yeah.
But if you've got a political agenda and you want to, you know, spread the wealth around the globe, then this is what better excuse than to do something globally, like global warming.
And Don, you know, and Dave and I heard at the Creation Moments Conclave that there are lots of scientists out there who are really opposed to all the money-driven, political-driven kinds of science, the warped science, but simply to protect their positions in universities and in research companies and elsewhere, they really can't speak out. We need to get them a louder voice, I think, because they're there, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They're definitely there. As a matter of fact, there were thousands of atmospheric scientists that have signed a petition and against all of this global warming nonsense. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, you know, this isn't true. This is, and they're trying to clear their reputation, if you will, from all the silliness that is going on out there politically.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does one find that petition and read it, maybe, and see the names on this? Is there a website, an organization they can refer to?
Well, I'll have to do some research on that.
Okay.
I read about it, and it was, you know, kind of one of those things that, mm-hmm. oh, that's an interesting thing, but I didn't throw it into my possible topics.
Well, you know, we're intent on doing some good here by exposing this stuff, the false science, the twisted science that's out there, that the science is governed by money and politics as opposed to a search for the truth. But there are those people out there, and even if in our own small way we can give them a boost up, we'd like to do it here at Broken Road. So we,
let me see if I can you know, find some information on that, and maybe we can talk about it.
Let people know there are credible voices in opposition to what people are hearing from the mass media.
Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. Because you don't, you know, something like that will not appear in the mass media, mm-hmm. because they obviously have their agenda.
Yeah. And we're not exactly mass media yet, but soon, Don. Someday soon.
We need to get on the Blaze or something like that.
You know, it's interesting. I was watching, what was I watching? I think it was Fox News the other day, and there was an ad for the National Association of Broadcasters, a television ad now, urging people to listen to their local radio stations because they're so connected locally. They're talking about terrestrial radio. It's almost as if the standard broadcasters are starting to perceive a threat from internet broadcasters and probably satellite broadcasters, and they're starting to react. So I saw that as a hopeful sign.
Yeah. Other part of that is that they couldn't sell the time. Mm-hmm. You know, they couldn't find any local sponsors.
Well, that happens forever on Fox News, though. It's what we call a PI, a per inquiry kind of ad, where you're asked to call an 800 number. And that's when the network gets paid for the ad, if you respond and call. But the company itself, the advertiser, doesn't have to pay for it until there's a response.
But at least they get paid for it. NAB is a free ad.
The NAB would be probably a free ad.
NAB is a freebie, and the local broadcasters get nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, that's like running a local spot for, the WAC to, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, global warming, for example.
Yeah,
happened down at your local school district. There's nobody to pay for the time, so they give it away just to fill up the spot. Mm-hmm.
They got to fill that airtime. Yeah,
so I suppose they could just let the 30 seconds go by.
Well, Don, if you could do that, if you could maybe find out that source for that petition or an associated organization, we'd love to put that out. Maybe link it to our podcast. We'll have links to both these articles in our podcast later today at Broken Road under the audio archive. Just go to Don Clark section and you'll see the article on the Arctic sea ice up 60%. That's from Newsmax.com, and then the Mercola article on BT corn and the resurgence of the corn rootworm. So I think you'll find these of interest and spread it around. You know, like it on Facebook and on Twitter and help us spread the word here and get this information out. Just so people have an even-handed way to make a decision in their own minds as to what to eat, what to buy, and how to react. So, Don, as always, we're grateful to you, the board member, Don, a board member with Creation Moments. It's creationmoments.com. It is .com, isn't it? Why did I forget that?
Well, it is .com. I think we have both the .com and the .org domains, but the website is .com. So
yeah, a lot of resources on topics like this, all having to do with the really scientific evidence that God is who He says He is, and He created the universe and everything in it. And you'll find it encouraging over there, and just to know there are organizations like Creation Moments working for that. That truth, that essence, that essential truth for us. And we'll have our podcast of Don's conversation, as we do all of his conversations. He's with us just about every Monday morning here on The Broken Road during this hour. Don, we thank you. Grateful to you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure, and it's fun doing these programs. So,
let you go fight the internet fight. See if you can hold the feet to the fire of your ISP there, your internet service provider. And see what happens. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
See you, Don.
Dick Tunney, Mel Tunney play for us.